to love my right wing point of view. But right wingers need love too. One more time, here we go. Right wingers need love too. We all need love, indeed we do. Now you don't have to love my right wing point of view. But right wingers need love. Right wingers need love. Right wingers need love too.
Friends, Romans, Kentuckians, howdy. It's the lonesome prophet, Brother Al Barger, on this November the 13th of 2012, 1 week after the American elections. I'm stocked up on my meds now, and I think I might be sedated enough to talk rationally about what a monumentally and inexcusably bad set of choices the voters went and made. So, let me give you just a little hint of what you all have done brought down on us. Like Daniel reading the writing on the wall at Belshazzar's festival, let me just give you a little prophecy of the future with 4 more years of Obama and Harry Reid, and be glad I'm just looking to the Exodus and not St. John's Revelation. In our near future, I'm seeing terrible plagues, including rivers of blood generated by Obama's pals in the Muslim Brotherhood. The frogs will still be arrogant even as they abandon France to the Muslims. The dust will turn to lies. There'll be swarms of flies. The cattle will die. Boils will infect even the Pharaoh's magicians on the Federal Reserve Board. The regulatory hail of the century mixed with waves of firings will prepare the wicked voters for the plagues of bureaucratic locusts that will descend on the land so thick that they darken the very sun, by about which time all the firstborn and half of everybody else dies waiting in line at the BMB for a little bit of that free Obamacare. I think that about covers the executive summary of the future that America has just freely chosen.
Doom and gloom. Doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom.
Now, I'm a nice guy. Really, I am. If I had any friends, you could ask them. I don't like wagging my finger in judgment. Besides that not being very nice, I don't enjoy doing it, and I don't get off on those kind of emotions. But I have to tell you, I'm not happy with my American countrymen at this point, nor with myself for that matter. You know, you can take the boy out to church, but you can't take the church out of the boy. Leastways, not if the boy is Brother Al Barger. I was raised in evangelical Christian churches, and we used to have big tent revivals literally in my backyard as a young lad. I was raised on hellfire and brimstone, hearing vivid descriptions of the hell we'll get if we insist on persisting in our evil ways. Good Bible-thumping country preachers scared the crap out of me and steered me to the straight and narrow many a time in my youth. Knowing the truth yet persisting in evil, greedy ways is exactly what the voters did last week when they re-elected President Barack Obama and even more Democrats to the U.S. Senate. So I'm going to have to do a little rebuking and a little prophesying for you. I don't mean to rehash all the details of every wrong, wicked, and stupid thing that President Obama has done. It's not him that I'm after here, but the American voters who elected, and Lord have mercy on their souls, re-elected him after what he's done and the effects of his actions after 4 years. But I need to set the table a little bit to explain why you all's choices this year inescapably draw the condemnation of any decent rant-fearing Christian. 4 years ago in 2008, being extremely generous, you might excuse the voters for ignorance. Obama had no real record. And you could vote for hope and change and fill in the blanks in your imagination. Plus, he's black. Perhaps the voters mistook him for the wise President Palmer from the first season of 24. I'll have to do a whole nother show on the affirmative action president. But no record at all is at least not a bad record, and he was running against the biggest dipstick the Republicans have run in my lifetime. Still though, even then the voters should have picked up the point that Obama doesn't like America very much. I highly recommend Dinesh D'Souza's current Obama 2016 film, which uncovers a lot of connections and mostly direct quotes in Obama's voice from his Dreams from My Father book. Even in 2008, though, everybody knew about his longtime pastor and spiritual counselor, Reverend Jeremiah Goddamn America Wright. There's a clue. He pretty much started his political career with a fundraiser in Bill Ayer's living room. There's a clue. And oh yes, I do believe in guilt by these kinds of associations. That's absolutely legitimate and indeed morally necessary judgment. Put all that aside, though, because Obama got elected. Now, we've had 4 years of President Obama and 6 years of a Harry Reid Democrat U.S. Senate to judge by. In the time of Obama's presidency, Harry Reid's Democrat Senate simply has not passed a budget in all those years. At all. Not even a big, crazy, bloated budget. They spend the money, of course, and then some. But you have to add up all the fragments to see the $1 trillion plus in deficits being run up each year. They're racking up something like 4,000 plus in deficits just in the federal budget now each year, times every man, woman, child, 47% non-tax-paying moochers and occupiers and rented Mexicans alike. Obama said openly to a newspaper editorial board in 2008 that he'll bankrupt anyone who tries to start a coal plant to produce electricity. And he seems to have been pretty much true to his word. He appointed an energy secretary who thinks Americans should pay European prices of $8 to $10 a gallon for gas to make us conserve or some such nonsense. 1,000 other examples of nonsense that the voting public has no excuse for not knowing about aside. In 4 years of President Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi's forces in the House, gas prices have doubled and there are at least 25 million people unemployed. Voters cannot possibly not notice that. And then there's Benghazi. On September 11th, 2012, there seems to be little legitimate question that President Obama absolutely knew near immediately in real time from drone observation, urgent telephone calls and emails what was going on in Libya. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and several other Americans were under siege for around 7 hours. Beyond anything else in the area, there were American F-16 fighter planes less than an hour away. There's pretty much no rational way to avoid the conclusion that President Obama absolutely, purposely chose to let our ambassador and others be massacred, rather than let the cavalry come to their rescue. Then he had his minions blaming it on some obscure American for making a YouTube video and has put the guy away in prison for a year where he is at now. We may be years in figuring out why an American president would do things that wicked, but the what that he did it was well-known public knowledge weeks before the election. But over 50% of the voting public didn't give a rat's patoot about this treachery about Benghazi, the Rube Goldberg machine from hell that is Obamacare, the rotten and deteriorating state of the economy, or any of the other horrible things this monster has wrought. Hey, Obama and the Democrats promised you more free stuff forever and ever, amen. Obama's entire campaign for re-election was character assassination of Romney for being a rich businessman, and promises of increase in taxes on the rich to pay for it all. Capitalists are the new niggers. That's the big point of progressive and Democrat Party politics. Hey, they're the villain in every movie now. Not the Muslims, who are obviously the actual enemy killing us, and the Jews in Israel. This is all just ass backwards from anything to do with reality. It's Atlas Shrugged. You lynch the capitalists, then there's no one to build businesses, hire people, make things, and get them to you. Mitt Romney and Bill Gates have actually created thousands of jobs. Obama has not. Put them out of commission and we'll have heck figuring out the deficits, working them out on abacuses when there's no more computer industry, nor any office stores like Staples in which to buy the abacuses. Plus, Walmart is obviously a major corporation, so they'll have to be shut down too. So I don't know where you'll even be able to get an abacus. Poor folk might be back to counting on our fingers and toes. The moral depravity of constantly vilifying businesses and rich people and, say it with proper evil foreboding, corporations. All that appeals strongly because it gives losers a convenient scapegoat and, most importantly, it gives them a pseudo-moral justification for taking other people's stuff. Looting like this is most generally referred to euphemistically as simply making the rich pay their fair share. So let me stop here for just a second in the middle of my foolishness and carrying on to make kind of an important point. The moral rot of the culture constantly vilifying business and wealth to justify greed and thieving, that's right near the top of the list of causes of America's problems. But every dag-nab bit of this wicked nonsense is discounted, and the obvious likely bad consequences of this spending spree are ignored. Because Obama is promising most of you a little bit, just a little tiny bit of something right now, to which, of course, you have a right, which means that you have the right to force other people to pay for it at gunpoint. And you've got that right, and you're going to get that bit because you need it, and like a drug addict, you want it now. But truly, Barry Obama does not like us. He chokes on saying the phrase American exceptionalism. He's helping Jeremiah Wright's God to damn America and helping to finish Bill Ayer's work of destroying the U.S. military. We'll just defund it rather than actually blow it up. That'll be easier. He's poked his fingers repeatedly into the eyes of Israel while making BFF with the Muslim Brotherhood. He supports America's enemies and shuns America's friends. He wants to knock Americans down a peg or two in the world. That's Obama's dreams from my father. So, you voters are thinking you're voting for free stuff? But that gravy train can't go on for much longer before it crashes into brick walls of reality. What Obama's really got in mind for you is more like Jack Nicholson's Joker in Tim Burton's Batman, who lures the greedy citizens of Gotham downtown because he was giving out bunches of free money, followed by poison Smilex gas as a bonus.
Take the pictures. Gotham's greed.
And now, folks, it's time for who do you trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust? Me? I'm giving away free money. And now comes the part where I relieve you, the little people, of the burden of your failed and useless lives.
And folks, that's what y'all deserve for voting for Obama or any Democrat for Congress. I think that about covers that. But I got a bunch more rebuking of the voters to do. Turning now to my fellow Hoosiers, who elected Democrat Joe Donnelly over the Tea Party favorite and constitutional conservative Richard Murdoch. Hoosiers had the decency to vote for Romney well above Obama, but they sent Democrat Joe Donnelly to the Senate. This is a particularly stupid and rebuke-worthy gesture, so let's just unpack that a bit. As a member of the House of Representatives, Donnelly has been pretty much a rubber stamp for Obama, which is to say, a Democrat. These mother lovers stand united in their support of all things wicked. Putting it more nicely, congressional Democrats have good party discipline. Donnelly could be counted on to support Obamacare, for starters, and every other kind of abomination that most decent Hoosiers detest. Against which, we had the choice of an excellent constitutional conservative Republican, Richard Murdoch. He got buried at the end, though, for a couple of sentences about abortion in a debate. Murdoch is pro-life and does not support an exception for rape because he believes that even when pregnancy is the result of the horrible, Murdoch's word, act of rape, God created that innocent life. Even so extreme a right-wing nut job as Ann Coulter denounced Murdoch for this act. It was obviously politically not expedient for Murdoch to say that, and he knew it at the time. But he couldn't bring himself to equivocate in the clutches like Robert Redford's candidate Bill McKay, who couldn't let a school bus carry all of society's problems. You don't have to share Murdoch's position to respect the seriousness and proper godly intentions, and the integrity of saying what he felt he had to say, even knowing that it would be politically harmful to him. The Hoosier public turned on Murdoch for this, against everything else about Joe Donnelly and Richard Murdoch. This despite the fact that a U.S. senator has little to do with anything about abortion. But this was national scandal, seized on by President Obama among many other Democrats. But here's where the straight-up rebuking comes in from OAL. Joe Donnelly immediately went out on the stump proclaiming that Murdoch said that God believes in rape. That's a complete lie, carefully twisting Murdoch's words to say something he obviously was not saying, and Donnelly damn well knew it. Indeed, Donnelly spent big money on advertising, indignantly insisting that Murdoch believes God supports rape. This scurrilous lie was the worst one thing I heard in any election this year. Even every bad thing about his record aside, this wicked demagoguery should have completely disqualified Joe Donnelly from any public office. I rebuke the crap out of him right now for that. Shame on you, Senator Donnelly. Instead of shunning Donnelly for his especially shameful act, though, good Hoosiers bit on it. They rewarded Donnelly's shameless libel with a seat in the United States Senate. So right here, I rebuke all you Hoosiers that bit on that nonsense. You should know better. Shame on you for that. All right, then, I am getting the rebuking mostly out of my system. But I've saved a little bit of it here at the last for one more guy deserving criticism in this election. That would be me, Albert Brownlow Barger of Laurel, Indiana. I got beat as a candidate for Franklin County School Board. I got beat by 109 votes by incumbent Francis Brumback, 568 to 459. That's about 56 to 44%. I should have won this election, and it's entirely my own fault that I didn't. The guy's not that well known. I only found one voter who even sort of halfway knew him. His entire campaign, best I can tell, consisted of a total of 8 yard signs, half of those in front of boarded up houses and on public domain. Well, that, and he answered the questionnaire from the newspaper. Let me share just a small point for comparison. From the Connersville News Examiner, front page, October 30th, 2012. Why Barger is a candidate for this office? I want to bring a fresh set of eyes to our school policies and budget and help retire our debt. Why Brumback is a candidate for this office? I want to continue working at establishing good things with the Franklin County Community School Corporation. And I enjoy doing community service. This was quite a joke for me and my mates. Hey, if you enjoy doing community service so much, you don't need to put up yard signs and campaign. Just stand out in front of the sheriff's department and light up a big doobie. You get all the community service you want. Now, I did a little bit of campaigning. I made some clever buttons. And most importantly, I did write a really good letter to the voters about my first grade teacher and how to tackle our school's debts. I put it up on my website and at Facebook for however many people in my little district would see those and printed some up to distribute. But here's where I messed up. I didn't do the modest amount of actual physical effort needed to distribute that letter. I managed to distribute maybe a couple of hundred copies of that letter, including that I personally went to maybe 60 or 80 homes in Matamoran up on Duck Creek. I knew that I needed to make a serious door-to-door effort. Yeah, I couldn't take time off my job and all, but if I had put another just 10 or 12 hours of physical effort, the plain shoe leather of going door-to-door in Laurel, Matamoran, and Andersonville, to hand out just a couple hundred more flyers, that would have done the trick. About half the voters who cast ballots in our district didn't vote for either one of us in the school board race. Neither one of us had given any reason. If I had simply asked them personally for their votes or left them a letter, they'd have had a reason to vote for me. Door-to-door campaigning ain't rocket science, and I've done it off and on for 30 years. But I figured I'd already done way more than the other guy and let it go at that. So I got beat by a community service guy. Because I didn't do the plain old-fashioned door-to-door campaigning and dragged my big butt out to do the walking and knocking that I knew I should do. That's entirely my own damn fault. All right, then. I'm all done rebuking now. Me losing the school board race is a personal disappointment, but of no major import. But actions do have consequences, and the public's choices to re-elect Obama and keep him and increase a Democrat Senate are going to have bad consequences. Let's just hope they're not as severe as the voters deserve. So then, let me finish this up in the gratitude corner. I'm right thankful for my godson, Tony Kirshner, who'll be inheriting some crazy $500,000 in public debt by the time he becomes an adult in 10 years' time. Good luck, buddy. Sorry we're starting you out buried so far under our sins. I thank the creators for Og the Leprechaun and the whole Finian's Rainbow musical and movie. May God, Mary, Patrick, and St. Ozymandias bless and protect Yip Harburg, Fred Astaire, and Tommy Steele, for they have made one of my favorite things. This reminds me, by the way, to express a spot of gratitude for Rodgers and Hammerstein. On a more mortal level, I thank Dr. BLT, out trying to survive the craziness of California, for my right-winger's theme song. I thank you folks for lending your ear to my jive for a few minutes. You can find that theme song and much more of my foolishness at morethings.com, morethings.com. Let us conclude this little preachment, then, with a scripture about actions having consequences. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Amen and amen.